Bible, right? And letter to the Lord is a 9-year-old girl. And she had pulls from the world, and she came back to church and heard the word of God, and he made a change in her life. And she went to our Christian school, graduated from our Christian school in 2013, went to Commonwealth Baptist College, finished that, got her master's degree, bachelor's degree, and her master's degree, has been a Christian school teacher for just a few years now, and has been at Landmark Baptist Church in Haines City, Florida. And what a blessing. She's been teaching kindergarten and heard so many good things about Abby and what she's doing. So I asked if she would sing tonight. She said, yep, I will, before the message. So Miss Abby, amen.
For making the sun to shine, yeah. Putting the stars in the sky, for flowers that bloom, the ocean so blue, thank you, Lord, for the sparrow that sings, it makes sweet melody. For rivers that flow, the rain and the snow, thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for me. Thank you, I just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord, for making me whole, saving my soul. Thank you, Lord. Amen. For my home and family,
yep.
For life's joys that you've given me, for shoes on my feet,
yep.
Plenty to eat. Thank you, Lord, for the church where I worship and pray, for the freedoms that I have today.
Man.
Sweet Spirit, I feel your presence so real. Thank you, Lord.
Man.
I just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for me. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord, for making me whole, saving my soul. Thank you, Lord.
Glory.
For being a friend so dear, giving my sad heart cheer, for holding my hand when I could not stand. Thank you, Lord.
Yep. Amen.
For giving your
yep.
On the cross of Calvary, for taking my place, for mercy and grace. Thank you, Lord.
Man.
I just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for me. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord, for making me whole, saving my soul. Thank you, Lord. for making me whole, saving my soul. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. What a blessing. Amen. Praise God. How appropriate, huh? How appropriate. Well, I can't help but thinking as they were singing, I was looking at my finger and I have two gold rings on. One is my wedding ring and the other is my father's wedding ring that he wore for many, many years. And it's gold with diamonds in it. And my mother gave it to me the last time I was there. My daughter Mindy's there helping my mother during these difficult times. And please pray for them as you think about the holidays, and pray for Mindy. She's doing a great work and still helping us out in the church here with the app and all that she's doing. But my mom gave me that ring, and I was a year ago, November 30th at 3 p.m. that my father passed away. And I got a call from my cousin, Carolyn, and she said some things that I knew I needed to get going. And I left Wednesday morning. My wife and I left Wednesday morning, and we started driving out to Ohio. And by the time we got to Cleveland, we went to get something to eat there in Cleveland. And before we were done, my father had passed away at 3 p.m. November 30th, 2022. And I remember praying while I was there, and I was helping my mother and helping her with the funeral and helping her get the casket and all that was involved with that, and helping her through that and family through that. And they were going to have a funeral in his church. It was the church I was raised in, the church he was a member of all his life. And I was out praying, and I felt that the Lord wanted me to preach a message at his funeral. And I told the pastor, and I said, would that be all right? He said, sure, go ahead and preach that message. And it's kind of a takeoff on a message that I have preached here almost every year during the holiday season. And it's kind of like a couple weeks ago, I preached a couple Sundays ago, have yourself a very merry, M-A-R-Y, Christmas. And this goes along with that. And I preached it at my father's funeral. And my father was, as I told you the last time I preached this, which was a year ago here, I said my father was a big personality. He was a character in the church. There was a guy in the church named Minima. He said to me at the funeral, he said, Randy, he said, nobody could control your dad. He said, nobody could control him. And my brother used to say, when my dad would come up to somebody, we have a hostage situation here. And my dad would be talking to people about stories and all of that. And so Minima said, he said, nobody could contain him. But one time he was sharing all these stories with me, and he saw your mother, Jean, coming. And he said, oh, I got to go. And she took him out. And that kind of reminds me of Carmen sometime. But she said, nobody can control your dad, but your mother could contain him at least. She could contain him. And I remember thinking about that and hearing about that. And my father was a character. I remember at the hospital, he had broken three bones. He broke his back. He broke his clavicle. He broke another bone. And we had special surgery done to try to help him. And then he was going to do rehab after the surgery. And 96 years old, you know, it was the best shot we had. And it worked out, but it just wasn't to be. But anyway, this nurse came, and my dad had been under some drugs. And he wasn't sure just where he was at that point. And he said, you know, where am I? And she said, you're at the hospital, George. Once you're done here and we're done with you, we're going to take you to the rehab. Because after the surgery, he had to do the working out to get it back. And he said, "Rehab? I've never been on drugs all my life. Rehab." And that was my dad. He was something. And I've told this before. Maybe some of you haven't heard it, but he used to take us all over for vacations. My mother didn't want to travel, but my dad loved to travel. I liked to travel. My sister liked to travel. My brother. So he'd take us kids on these long travel trips. And one time we went up into the woods camping in northern Michigan. And my dad, when he was younger, he stuttered. He was a talker, but he had a problem with stuttering. You know, he would stutter. And he would get nervous and stutter. And he was out at this camping trip with us, and he met this man. And he was always friendly, always talking to people. And he said to this guy, he said, "What's your name?" And the guy goes, "Beatty." And my dad goes, "What was that again?" And I was like, "Oh man, he is something else." But my dad took me to my grandpa, his dad, very godly man. And my grandpa was born in Holland. He was born in the Netherlands. Grandpa Bloom. Bloom means flower in Dutch. And he took me there after I'd gotten saved and I had just graduated from high school and decided I was going to study for the ministry pre-seminary at the college that was part of our church and my grandfather had been part of. And when he heard I may study for the ministry, he came up to me and he said, "I want to tell you something." He said, "God called me to be a dominie when I was young. And," he said, "I was afraid of what people would say to me if I became a dominie." A dominie would be a preacher, a pastor. I was afraid. And I backed out. And I literally saw the chastening of God in my grandfather's life. But when he saw I was going to preach, he took all this money. At that time, that was a lot of money. And for him, it was a lot of money because he was a hard-working man. And he gave me like $500 to go to college. And he said, "I want to give this to you." He's the only grandkid he did that. "And I want to give it to you." And he was crying because he said, "You're studying for the ministry." And I'm so glad. I know they're in heaven. He can see me now. He can't preach like I can. He didn't follow his calling. But God raised up his grandson. And I've been preaching for all of these years. And I'm a dominie. Amen. And proud of it. Amen. And so I got to preach at my father's funeral. There were a few hundred people that showed up there for his funeral. And I got to preach the word of God there to those people. And I want to share with you the text that God gave me to preach at that funeral. This is the 1 year anniversary, November 30th, of my father passing. And he gave me John chapter 10, verse 9. I'm going to read it to you. And it says, "I am the door." This is Jesus speaking. "By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." Now, Jesus was saying in that same chapter that he is the shepherd of the sheep. And you know, tonight, we are all just a bunch of dumb sheep. Amen? And the thing that we have going for us is we have a good shepherd. And the name of the message is "The Good Shepherd, the Open Door for You." Tonight, the Good Shepherd, the open door. And he said that, "I am the door." Jesus said that. "If any man enter in," he said, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and go in and out and find pasture. And I want to say from that one text, there's three things in that text. He's the open door for your salvation. He said, "By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." So he's the open door for your salvation. Number two, he's the open door for your service. It says, "and shall go out." And finally, it says, he's the open door for your satisfaction, because it says, "and find pasture." So I want to talk to you about, on this Thanksgiving, the shepherd is the open door for you, from John 10:9. First of all, he's the open door for your salvation. Jesus said, I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And I remember as a young man, I went to church and heard the pastor preaching, but I didn't get saved through the pastor preaching. I remember going to catechism in our church and studying all the doctrines and learned a lot of Bible and a lot of doctrines, but I didn't get into the family of God that way. And I remember wishing I could know I'm in the family of God, wishing I could know I'm going to heaven. I would watch people take the Lord's table. I couldn't take it because I wasn't on the inside. I was on the outside looking in. But I went to church and I watched people take communion and I went, you know, to catechism, but that didn't get me in the family of God. I even got to go to Christian school. My dad was very frugal. In all he did, he was always very frugal. He was brought up in the Depression. And when the elders of the church came to the house, you know, they said, you ought to get your son in Christian school. He just about ran him out of the house. Cost too much. You know, cost too much. And he was watching that dollar. But his sister married a guy that had a lot of money. And they funded my way to go to Christian school in first grade. And then they funded me to go in second grade. And I got some great reading background. I got some great mathematical stuff. I mean, the old-fashioned education. It was some of the greatest in the country. So I got to go to Christian school. But that didn't get me in the family of God. Jesus didn't say by catechism you'll get in. By Christian school you'll get in. By going to college you'll get in. By being in church, you'll get in. He said, and I quote Jesus directly, I am the door, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Now, I want to ask you tonight, have you entered in by Jesus? Have you been saved by Jesus? Because I wasn't saved by any of those things. And as I grew up, you know, I hit what's called 17 years old. Does anybody understand what that is to hit 17 years old? And I was a boy and a teenage boy, and my mother said, we got to get this guy some help. We got to get him out of the house. And it was not good. And I was 17. And I've said, you know what Mark Twain said, when you have a kid that hits 13, if they're like I was, build them a coop 6 foot high, 3 foot wide, and cut a hole in that coop and feed the kid. And then when he hits 17, plug a hole in the coop. You know? And that's what should have been done for me, but they took me out of the house and they sent me to Muskegon, Michigan. And while I was there in Muskegon, I was reading the King James Bible, a Scofield Bible. And my grandmother, my great-grandmother, my grandmother's mother had passed away, and I was in her room, and it was an appointment by Jesus for me. And I realized for the first time in my life, I'd always hoped I could know I'm going to heaven, but for the first time in my life, I knew I was going to hell. I never knew for sure I was going to go to hell. I thought, maybe because of all the things I have, church and catechism and Christian school, I got a better chance than other people. But when I got there with that Bible and I read that, I realized for the first time in my life, Jesus showed me I'm going to hell. You know, the biggest problem is not getting saved, it's getting somebody lost. And Jesus does that for you. Especially a kid like me, brought up in Christian school for a while, brought up in the church, and all of that to get me lost. And boy, I was lost at that point in time. And I called upon the Lord. Lord, I need to be saved. But I wasn't saved, and I didn't know how to get saved at that point. And my grandmother didn't plan to lead me to the Lord. Think about Thanksgiving. You know, I was just staying there, and how many of you are excited about eating? How many of you hope Pastor cuts it short tonight so you can get out and get ready to go? I think even the pastor's thinking like that. But anyway, I understand it. But listen to me. I would feast on my grandma's apple pie, her mashed potatoes and gravy. She fed me T-bone steaks every night. When I got home working with my uncle, I would mix plaster, mix the mud, man. I was doing a man's work and coming home and eating, man. And my grandmother just be talking to me. She talked to me, Brother Bob, about the Six-Day War, and Israel was getting my attention, you know, because I was into that kind of stuff. And it was 1967, between my junior and senior of high school, and wow, I saw something was real going on over there. But she told me something, that how Jesus opened the door. You know, there was a big curtain 18 inches thick between the holy place where the priests would go and minister and the Holy of Holies, where only God dwelt in the temple in Jerusalem. And the priest could only go in there once a year. He had to have sacrifice for himself, an animal sacrifice, a bull, and for the people, a goat. And he would offer that sin offering once a year, Day of Atonement. Well, when Jesus died, my grandmother said, he said these words, "It is finished." And that meant that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, paid for our sins in full. Amen. And she said, "Randy, when he did that, there was an earthquake. And that curtain split from top to bottom. And that meant that we can go right into the presence of God through Jesus." And it was like my dead religion was gone. My works religion was gone. It was Jesus Christ, and I realized that I would need to enter in through him. He is the narrow gate. He is called the straight gate of the King James. That means the narrow gate. That means that most people try to come in with Jesus plus something that they're doing to get in. Let me tell you, you need to be stripped of your righteousness. And the Lord knows how to do that. And that's what happened to me. And I just clung to Jesus and clung to the cross. I didn't even understand all that had happened to me at that point. But I look back, and I believe it was June 16 on a Friday, 1967, between my junior senior year of high school in Muskegon, Michigan, 3303 Thompson Avenue, that I entered in through the door. And I've been in ever since. Amen. And I don't plan to get out.
Amen. And you can't. Amen.
I got to get this going so I can get out of church and go eat. But I don't plan to get out of the family of God. It's great. It surprised me. I'm in, man. Praise God. And if you're not in, my prayer for you tonight, because we have a good-sized group here, 12 disciples, one was called Judas. He wasn't in. And perhaps you're here tonight. Have you entered in through Jesus? And if you have, praise the Lord, because you are in, and what a blessing that is. But listen, that's Jesus. He is the shepherd, the open door for your salvation. But he doesn't stop there. Notice what he said secondly. He said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be what? Saved. And go in and out." Now, wait a minute. Go out. That kind of sounds like you could go in, and like the Charismatics and the Pentecostals and the Arminians, you can go in and then go out and lose your salvation. And then maybe go back in and get it back again. And then go back out and lose it. How many have heard that kind of teaching? It's a lie. That's not what Jesus is saying here. He's not saying you go into the family and out of the family. No, I'll explain that. That's not what he's saying here. You don't go in and out of the family of God. Once you're in, you're in. You know, my father and my mother got together, and I'm definitely part of my father and I'm part of my mother. Got a little bit of both of them. And that's never going to change. Amen? That's not going to change. I was up the other day when we were talking to Jesse. He was helping me with deer hunting and getting ready, and my son came by. He finished his dental work. He came by, and And I found out he's doing the same thing I am. He hasn't eaten since Sunday night because he wants to eat a nice Thanksgiving dinner. So he hasn't eaten anything from Sunday night. But you are, you know, your family, you can see that. And when you're born again, you're in the family of God. And you can't get out of the family of God. Thank God for that. Well, what does he mean by go in and out and find pasture? Well, what he means by that is Jesus said, once you've entered in the door of salvation, you need to go out and serve others because you've gotten saved. I remember when I got saved in Muskegon, I went back and my father saw a difference in my life. I was not the favorite in my family. My little brother was his favorite because my father, Brother Jose, he liked quiet people, calm people. He didn't like any. And my brother was so nice and, you know, go along. And he loved my daughter, Mindy. He loved her, you know. And he loved that personality type. But I'll tell you what, when I got saved, my father began to recognize a difference in my life. He really did. He saw I was different. My father. I had conflict with my father. I mean, big conflict. But he saw a difference in my life. So I came back there and I spent time there. And my father loved calm people. He loved his sister's husband, Herbert, who was a hunter. They hunted and they spent. But Herb Marsman was a godly man. He was a soul winner. He visited people. He was such a good testimony. What a guy. Married his sister. All the Bloom girls needed calm men, quiet men, just to calm them down. They were all high-strung people. And Herb was like that. Do you know, before my father died, and I'm sorry for talking about my father tonight, but it's been 1 year and I'm thinking about him. And he said to me, he would keep saying to me, I want to go to Pennsylvania. He said, get all my guns and bring them to Pennsylvania. And who did he want to see in Pennsylvania? Joe Slobodnik. He loved Joe Slobodnik. Same type of personality, you know? He loved Joe Slobodnik. He could spend hours with Joe Slobodnik. I remember when he was in the hospital and he was on his deathbed, near his deathbed time, and Joe talked to him and he was lighting up, just getting excited about Joe Slobodnik. But my father saw a difference in my life. And then he saw me go to college in that denomination. Then I became a Baptist by conviction. That upset my father because he wanted me to stay in that denomination. He said, Randy, he said, if you become a Baptist pastor, he took me out on a boat and we were talking. I was going to go to Bible college out here, Baptist Bible. He said, if you become a Baptist pastor, you're going to be as poor as a church mouse. He said, if you stay with this denomination that you're in, he said, notice our preachers get paid like senators. And you know what? He was right. They do. But you know what? I'm so glad I didn't listen to that. Amen. I'm so glad I followed the Lord. And I'm here to serve the Lord. Not here to serve the almighty dollar. I never came here for money. They didn't pay me one red cent when I started here. I had to get support outside. But I came here because of the will of God. Jesus said, you'll go out and you'll find pasture. And listen to me. Some of you are taking a break from service this week. That's great. But listen, remember why you're in it. You're in it to serve the Lord. Because not just a duty that you have to do, because of what Jesus did for you, as we heard tonight in the song, give thanks. Hey, when you eat that turkey tomorrow, he had to give himself up for you. Remember that. Remember Jesus. He had to give himself up for us. Amen. And give thanks for that. And serve it. So I was serving the Lord. My father saw me in Scranton, and I was a single guy. I was going to college, and then I was in this church. We started this church, and Charlie Ware was the pastor, and we were living in a single guys together in a kind of crazy situation. You know, single guys, how they can be. And my father said, I worried about you in Scranton. And then he saw God bring in Charlie's wife, Sharon, who was a great lady. And he saw God bring in Kathy Leeser out of West Palm Beach, Florida for me. And my father said, when I saw that, I stopped worrying about you. I saw God's hand was on you. He could see it. He could see it. It was a testimony to my father. My wife was a testimony to my father, to my maternal step-grandfather. And we witnessed to people in the family. And you can witness during this time because you have a testimony. Share your testimony. Let your light shine. And your family, maybe they didn't get saved right away, but God is using that testimony. Thank God for it. Thank God for Abby's testimony. God's using that testimony. Thank God for KK's testimony. God's using that in her marriage. God uses these things. It's what Jesus is doing in your life. Like Ryan said tonight, got you off drugs. Amen. That is how you can serve the Lord. But have you gone through the door? Are you on the inside? Are you in the family? If you have, then you can share it with others. Amen. I remember when Marie came into this church, she had a list of churches she was going to. And I don't know why. She came from a liberal church. Why you were looking for a King James Bible-believing Baptist church? That in itself is God doing something there, that you were looking for that. And she came in the door and got under conviction and came forward. My wife, counselor, she trusted the Lord as her Savior. Got saved that night. And then the frenzy started with the guys. But I'm just saying that God uses that testimony. He has a purpose for Marie getting saved and letting her light shine in her family. God has a purpose in us being saved to serve the Lord. And so you're to go in and out and tell people about the Lord. And then the shepherd is the open door for you, not only for salvation, not only for service, but for your satisfaction. Notice this. Jesus said, I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and go in and out and find what? Pasture. Now, kids in our Christian school, they used to call me pastor. But really what Jesus is saying here, when you go in and you go out and serve me, I will feed you and I will take care of you. Sheep are dumb animals. And they need a shepherd that takes care of them. And do you know what the key to satisfaction is? It's keeping your eyes on Jesus. A lot of people, you're not going to be satisfied with your life because you may be saved, you may be serving the Lord, but you're not really satisfied by the Lord. He's not satisfying you. And I've shared this, a little girl, 4 years old, she was quoting Psalm 23, and she stood up and they said, this is amazing, she's memorized Psalm 23, a little four-year-old girl. And they were all waiting, and she goes, yes, I want to give the psalm. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not. No, that's all I want. And she sat down, she was done. But you know what? That's the way it is when you're having a satisfied life. That Jesus is all you want and need. And he said, I'll make you lie down in green pastures. You know what that means? You'll not lack for anything, namely rest, peace. You know, I love to pay my bills. Kyle, I love it. And I know you do too. And I wanted to get my bills paid on time, Brother Jose, so I got my online banking and I got my, I always pay my school taxes. This year it was just for school, just to take care of Abington Heights School. I had to pay $2,142.69, I think it was. And I always pay, listen to me, I always pay online banking and I pay before it's due, so I get the break. If you pay when it's due, you get it. And if you go late, is it? So I paid this, like I always do, and I get a message in the mail. And it says, you owe something like $2,272 and so on, because you didn't pay. And if you don't pay by the end of November, it's going to be more. And that's what the letter said. Well, how would you respond? Before Thanksgiving. And then I called up and I go, I called the office, got the number of the tax lady that does. I called the office and it goes, "Happy Thanksgiving. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving. And if you want to get a hold of me, just Gmail me." She was already gone. And I'm thinking to myself, "Happy Thanksgiving. You just hit me with a bill. I've already paid." I went to my bank account and I saw they took the money out. Back in October, 2,100, whatever, took it out. And I'm ready to freak out, because I can't talk to her. Then I remembered, wait a minute, I can talk to Jesus. Amen. And I can have rest. Why? Because thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Are you resting in the Lord? You say, did you get it resolved? No, I didn't. Did you get to talk to her? No, I didn't. But I talked to Jesus. It's okay. My wife came to me for some money tonight to get something for Thanksgiving. She was almost like crying because she heard about this. And I'm like, honey, be calm. It's all right. Here's some money. Here's some extra. Keep it. Don't worry about it. Peace. I don't want for peace. It's available. Not every Christian has it, but we don't have to lack. He makes us lie down. I won't want for refreshment. The Bible says, he leadeth me beside still waters. That means that a shepherd would dam up a stream because sheep are afraid to drink from a running water. And when it's calm, they'll drink and get refreshed and all of that. And so the Lord will give you refreshment. Now listen, are you getting refreshment? Yes. I had a saint come up to me and said, I was reading in the Bible and I got this from the Bible. Charlie Ware used to come up to me in Bible college, I got this from the Bible. Listen, you should be getting fresh manna every day from Jesus himself. When I went to Bible college, a lot of my friends, they were getting stale bread from professors, but they didn't have any personal refreshment. And the thing that Charlie Ware, he stood out to me and became my best friend because I saw Jesus was refreshing him. And he was able to share it with me. When's the last time you got something with Jesus and got refreshed by him? And if not, let me tell you, anything you're getting from Thanksgiving and family, that's great, but it's not going to satisfy you. Remember Mick Jagger when I was, well, you don't remember him, I do. He's too old for you. But when I was, Brother Joe, you remember Mick Jagger, the Rolling Stones. I can't get no satisfaction. You remember that, Marlene? I can't get no satisfaction. And I tried, and I tried, and I tried. And you know what? Just being saved, just doing service for the Lord doesn't give you satisfaction. You have to do it with him. And then he gives you that refreshment. And I shall not want for rest. I shall not want for peace. I shall not want for refreshment. And tomorrow, how many plan to eat a big meal? I'm going to eat a big meal. In fact, I'm going to eat so much, I'm going to get some exercise right now just to get ready for it. Come on, let's get some exercise. But I'm going to get some exercise. We like that. But you know what? When the sheep would eat too much, Anna, and I know, Anna, you would never eat too much because you're so skinny. But the sheep... I'm just kidding. But the sheep, when they eat too much, they fall down on their side and they can't get back up. And the shepherd has to come. This is true. I'm not kidding. And lift them up and stand them back up. That reminds me a lot of Baptists. And they And that's, he restoreth my soul. He lifts me back up. He gets me back and gets me going again and leads me. And it says that he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You know what? I have a problem with people that talk about the free gift of salvation. I don't have a problem with it being a free gift, but it's not a free ride. When you get saved, it's not like, you know, people have this big difference. Oh, a person's saved, but then they're a drunkard all their life. A person is saved, but they're a fornicator all their life. A person is saved, but they're a sodomite. And then somewhere later on, they become a disciple. No, no. When you get saved, you're married to Christ. He moves into your house. When I got married to my wife, everything changed. I came out of the shower and I tried to dry my hands on those, what do you call those things, decorative towels. She goes, no, 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 we don't do that. I'm like, what are you talking about? We don't do that. We don't do that. I needed some polishing, some education. But I learned. Jesus, when he moves in, he changes you. And these pastors that say, oh, you're saved, but you can be a homo and just be welcomed here as a member of our church. No, if you're saved, you're no longer a homo. You're a disciple of Jesus Christ. And he gives you a new heart and a new life. If any man be in Christ. So he leads me in paths of righteousness. What? For his name's sake. What kind of Savior would that be that saves us from the penalty of sin but just leaves us in our sin? No, that's the broad way. It leads to destruction. Listen, it's not just a narrow gate, Jesus, but it's a narrow way. You see? When you go through the narrow gate, you are automatically spilled out onto the narrow way. And if you're on a broad way, you never went through the gate.
That's right.
Read Pilgrim's Progress. It'll tell you that. And so then he says in Psalm 23, not only do we not lack for rest, not refreshment, not only for righteousness, but he in restoration, you know, he restores us when we mess up. But it says that we shall not lack for his presence. He says that yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For, now don't miss this, for thou art with me. Do you realize he's with you? When I was a little kid, I used to come home from Christian school. I was in first grade, and I was afraid of kids going to beat me up as I was walking home. You ever been afraid of a kid beating you up, Luke, when you were little? No, you never had that problem. I did. I was afraid they were going to come and beat me up, you know. So I would pretend like I had a gang with me, and I'd be calling to my gang saying, hey, guys, come on over here. Hey, come over there. And I thought, you know, that would intimidate people to think it was just a weird thing. It was like an invisible gang I had, you know. Now, that was all in my head. It made me feel better. But you know what? We have somebody that really protects us. And some of you get afraid because things are getting darker and darker in our world. But I want you to know, he'll never leave you and he'll never forsake you. His presence. You'll not lack for his presence. He said, you know, friends may leave you. Have you ever had friends leave you? Ever had a boyfriend leave you? You liked a girlfriend? No. Who said no? Ryan? A girlfriend leave you? You ever had that? You'll never have Jesus leave you. I've had people leave me, but never Jesus.
Amen.
And even my own father, he left me. He couldn't stay. Even your loved ones and your family members, they can't stay forever.
Right.
But my strength is in the Lord. And I don't lack for His presence. I like the rod and the staff. It says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, because that rod and staff is my protection. That the Lord protects me and He'll protect you from any enemy. Do you know that no weapon formed against you can prosper? It cannot stop you. If the Lord is for you, you'll never be stopped. Until He's ready to take you home. And so you don't have to worry about protection, and you don't have to worry because His presence will go with you. And then He said, He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and a shepherd will take fruit from trees and bring them right down where the sheep can eat them, and they get that fruit and they eat the good stuff that they need to be strong and healthy. You know, when I preach, I try to get things out of the Word so that you can understand it. And that's the way we do in Sunday school. That's the way we do in church. And you get things from the Word, but it's the Lord that breaks it down. And He provides spiritually for you. He also provides physically for us. And I hear testimonies of it all the time. So you won't lack for provision. You won't lack for protection. You won't lack for the presence of the Lord. And then He says that He anoints my head. Thou anointest my head with oil. He gives you the power of the Holy Spirit. I thank God for people like Mary and Owen. She's going out on Thursday night knocking on doors. And she and Rose were telling Brother Joe, and I was there, right, Brother Joe? They were saying, man, we getting older, we start forgetting stuff, and we can't do it. And I said, well, why don't you guys just read from the track? Because you told me this at Commonwealth Baptist College. When the students go there, the ones that don't have training in the church, they tell them just read from the track, right? How to be saved. And so I told them that. And Rose went out. She didn't do it. But Mary went out. And who was she with? Somebody.
Brother Matt.
Brother Matt. He's not here. Brother Matt. She went out. They knocked on a door. And she said, God wants me to read this to you. And boldly, she read that thing, and she said, are you ready to trust Jesus as your Savior? And they said, yes, and she prayed with them to receive Christ. Just using that track and reading from that track. You know, if you're willing to do His will, He says, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. His power goes with us and blesses us. And we've seen it happen. And so God wants you to go with Him and know that He's going to give you power. He anointeth my head with oil. My cup runneth over. You know the horn of plenty. He gives you blessings. We just get blessings. And I know, since Biden has come in, prices and food have gone up and everything else. But can you testify that God provides for you? How many can testify God still provides? It's not Biden that's provided. It's Jesus that's taking care of me. He does it. So all we have to do is keep our eyes on Him, because you will not lack for satisfaction. He will give you satisfaction, and you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You will be permanently with Him once you've gone through this life. Nothing can separate you from that. Nothing can keep that from you. And I just want to thank the Lord that we have a good shepherd that is the door for us of our salvation, of our service, and of a satisfied life. I'm a satisfied customer. And He wants you to be a satisfied customer, because you can tell others how good He is. And God will use you. And God will use me to lead people to the shepherd. Amen. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed. We've been talking about the good shepherd, your open